Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Can you remember the dirtiest you've ever been in your entire life? I know Brother Glenn and I have talked about a couple of those times. Just working in something or in somewhere that, you know, the only thing worse than getting dirty is the smell sometimes that comes along with it. I remember when I was 15, I was working in Texas. And I was supposed to be working with my uncle construction that year, but the housing industry cratered, and he got me a job with a friend of his working on a farm. And so one of my jobs, when I showed up, he'd come and pick me up from my uncle's house every day. And one of my jobs was to feed the hogs. Now, I grew up in Tucson. We didn't have a lot of hogs, but we didn't have any at my house. But these things were some of the biggest ones I've ever seen. It came up to my hip. Some of them were a little bit smaller than that. I know many of you seem bigger than that, I'm sure. But he had probably 15, 20 of those things. And I'd have to carry 2 5-gallon buckets out, set one on top of the feeder, and then dump it in there, and then dump the other one in there. And you probably had something to do like that a couple of times in your life, hadn't you, Brother Klein? And pigs are not dumb. Pigs are probably as smart as a dog or smarter. And when they're hungry, they're meaner as well. And I'd get in there, and I remember one time, probably only my second or third time, I didn't really know what I was doing, a big, big pen, and I put one of them up there, and what happened was one of the smaller ones walked right behind me, and the big one started pushing me back, and I didn't realize one behind me. So, of course, what I did was I turned around, and I fell. That other one moved right out of the way, right into the mud. My hands went straight out, and Lee, the fellow I was working for, I'll tell you, he did not. I worked for him for 6 or 8 weeks. He never cracked a smile one other time than this, the whole before and after. And I stood up and he laughed for about 3 minutes. And literally half of my body was muck and the smell. And I was done for the day. I mean, that was first thing in the morning. And I had to go back and he hosed me off over my uncle's house. I was dirty. I was filthy. And I still remember that to this day, just trying to get up and get back out of there, because once I went over, the food bucket went over, and it was a feeding frenzy all around me, and it was, I'm not scarred, I still eat bacon, okay, but maybe you're thinking about the time that you got dirty, and sometimes you feel like you're stained. I've worked in places where my hands, you get them stained, and it takes some time to get that out, but I'm going to tell you something about God's forgiveness. Sin will keep us dirty. All right, sin makes us dirty. Sin dirties our heart. But when we get right with God, it doesn't have to wear off. You don't have to get hosed down. Simply by confession and asking for forgiveness, God cleans you just like that. Do we have anything up there, fellas? It should be on. All right. Well, it's actually out at my desk. My desktop is what we're supposed to be using right now. And I have a feeling. See if you can. Well, it's got a passcode. See if the passcode needs put on there or not. I apologize. It worked fine last week when we did it, so you just might have to listen to me tonight as all without anything to look at. Psalm 51. That's horrible, isn't it? Psalm 51, starting in verse 1, have mercy. We talked about God having mercy upon us. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Did you catch that? No. Oh, we are up there. They should be able to just hit play from the beginning. There it is. All right. I always count on Brother Hanky to get that thing running. All I can see is a picture that says sin dirties the heart, so it's not that big of a deal. Thank you very much. Got it rolling on that thing. All right. So we talked about the three words that God uses for sin. Last week, transgressions, iniquity, and sin. And I want to talk just for a little while tonight and talk to you about how sin dirties the heart. I didn't put the three different words in here, but do you see in verse 1, what does he say there about his transgressions? We talked about transgressions last week. What is he asking God to do this week? Blot them out. Blot them out. In verse 2, what does he want to be, what does he want to happen from his iniquity? To be washed. And then in the last part of verse 2, he wants to be cleansed from his sin. So listen, if we need to be blotted out, by the way, blotted out simply means to wipe out. It's like rubbing out an item on a list, as though you had a shopping list and you realized you don't need milk anymore. That's never happened in our house. I don't know about yours, but you cross it out. You take it out. And so washing carries this idea. It really is like represents sin as a stain that has to be washed out. The verb expresses the way in which clothes were washed by being beaten against the rocks to remove dirt. How many of you ladies are just thankful for modern conveniences called washing machines? Yeah, how many of you men are, right? Amen. It also carries the idea of defilement caused by touching something unclean or something that is diseased, you know, being from unclean from disease. And then cleanse carries the idea to purify. It really carries this idea of a defilement which renders a person ritually unclean and has to be removed, and they have to be cleansed from that. That's the only way they could be rejoined to the community and pronounced clean. And so, I don't think I'm speaking another language to people in here tonight, because those of you that proclaim or have trusted Christ and have professed Him as your Savior have at some points in your life had to go to Him and ask God to cleanse you. What is the main verse that we run to when we think about forgiveness of sins? 1 John 1:9. Anybody quote that loud enough for everybody else to hear? All right, Christian. So right there, it's talking about cleansing, about cleaning. So sin dirties our heart. You ever had something that you did and you felt dirty afterward? And I'm not talking about necessarily going into an establishment, but maybe you just shaved a corner here. Maybe it was something more severe. You just thought, man, I just don't feel, we say things like, I don't feel right about that. Maybe you sat down and you were going to watch something you thought was harmless, and by the time you were done, you realized you probably should have turned it off or got up and left, and you just left that thing just feeling kind of dirty. I don't think we always necessarily go into it with the intent that we're going to sin, but the Holy Spirit has a way of pointing out to us when we have displeased Him. And if you have the Holy Spirit, there's been a time in your life where you felt dirty. Maybe I remember when I first got up to Morgantown, we were invited to an older person's, a senior saint, were gathering, and a fellow was reading email forwards, and I don't think he really read them before he got behind the podium, and he would read these, and they were supposed to be funny, and somebody had forwarded something, and it had a curse word in it, and just like a teleprompter going in front, he didn't slow down, he just read that thing, and I was in shock, and I don't know that it ever registered with him, and I talked to him about it afterward, and he was just so embarrassed, and he never read another forward that he didn't read three times before he got back there. But it was shocking to everybody. But sometimes we'll do something, but the Holy Spirit immediately, if you're in fellowship with God, he'll tell you that you need to do something about that. Can I tell you, not just Christians feel that way, but the world around us, those that need Christ, know oftentimes that they are in bondage, but they don't know what to do about it. Now, for the Christian, we just go to Christ and say, we confess our sins. That's simply agreeing with God, telling God that we know what we've done. Father, listen, I shouldn't have watched this, and I should have got up, I should have left, or I shouldn't have said that, or whatever it might be. I shouldn't have said this about this person. Just as long as I can spend the rest of the night listening to different ways that we can offend a holy God, okay? But the Holy Spirit can make it clear to you. So as a Christian, we can go directly to God, go to the throne room, confess with Him, which is simply to agree with God about our sin. Remember, we talked last week about blame shifting. We're going to talk about that again either later tonight or next week. But not to blame shift, but to take credit, if you will, for your sin. And then you don't just say, God, I'm sorry I did this. You say, will you forgive me? That's really what David is saying. David has taken ownership when he is talking about his sin, his transgression, right? He's not saying, God, would you please forgive the fact that I saw Bathsheba bathing on the roof where she shouldn't have been? And you know, he wasn't blame shifting. He said, God, this is my fault. He was agreeing with God. Now, as he asks for cleansing, if you will, he is asking for forgiveness. That's just like relationships. You ever have somebody wrong you and they come up and they say, I'm sorry? And you might say, for what? Now you know what, and they know what, but you're kind of needling them. And they, well, I'm sorry, I probably shouldn't have. And you know, somebody might come and say sorry, but they're really not asking for forgiveness. I can tell you, in our house, when either one of the children have to get right with their parents for disobeying, or right with their sibling, or whatever it might be, or when they go to God, it's not just, I'm sorry, although that's part of it. You can't have forgiveness without explaining why you need forgiveness. So you say, I'm sorry for taking this out of your hands and making you cry, but it doesn't stop there. It's, will you forgive me? You see, when you get forgiveness, then the person that you wronged, you see, when you're wronged, you have a right to be angry, right? I mean, you're justified in doing that. And I'm not saying that means you can do that without sinning. What I'm saying is, humanly speaking, you have the power and the right to be angry over because you've been wronged. When you forgive somebody, you are releasing that right to be angry. And so when we go to God, if we want cleansing, David is using all these different words, but basically he said, in a sense last week, if you will, I'm sorry. I'm taking responsibility. And this week he's finishing it. He's saying, will you forgive me? Let me tell you, when whether it's your relationship with God, the relationship with your spouse, relationship with your children, I'm sorry is only half of it. That just tells everybody that you understand what the problem is. When you ask somebody for forgiveness, you are then putting it on them to release the power and the authority that they have to be angry. The same thing when you go to God and you say, God, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? God immediately, does he debate it? Well, this is the 17th time you've come to me about this. No, he forgives and he releases his right to be upset or angry or exact judgment on that. And so David had missed the mark when he sinned with Bathsheba. David could only go to God and appeal to his mercy and his grace and his love. I'm not going to ask you what it was, all right? But can anyone share tonight a time where they had gotten right with God and had experienced just a tremendous, not just the load of sin, but God's mercy, just the goodness of God just filling your heart? Maybe you just raise your hand and say, I can relate to that. I can relate to that. That's what God intended. Remember last week I said that I don't like to use the phrase a break in relationship with God because our relationship never changes. But we have a break in fellowship with God. And when we confess our sin, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us. And then He cleanses us. He blots out our transgressions. He washes away our iniquity. He cleanses our sin. Do you see that? That is how you get right. That is when then you have that same close relationship as that first day you got saved. Do you remember that day? Do you remember that day you met Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you realize that does not have to be a one-time experience in your life of that closeness? Now, I'm not saying you have to get saved every time you sin, you understand? But what I am saying is you can have that free intercourse with God, that free exchange and closeness and intimacy that God wants to have with you simply by confessing your sin and getting right with Him. Now, I don't want a show of hands, but how many of you have murdered somebody? Well, according to the Lord, if you've been angry at your brother without cause, right? I hope there's no one guilty of adultery. But the Lord says if you've looked and lusted, that's another commandment. All I'm saying is we might say, well, I'm not as bad as David. But when you look at the teachings of Jesus, yeah, you are. Yes, I am. And so all we can do is the same as when we got saved, we were just throwing ourselves at the mercy of God. It's the same thing when we have sin in our life. I look at verses, if I could put it this way, verses 1 and 2, in my opinion, really are David's repentance. As we look at verses 3 and 4, we see his real confession. He talks about his sin, the transgressions, and verses 6 through somewhere around 11, his request for forgiveness, and then 13 to the end of the verse is his restoration. But as we continue to go through and just see some of these different things that this sin does, it breaks down our fellowship with God. I think of it this way. I was just explaining to you what happened to me in a pig pen a long time ago. But let me tell you what I didn't do. I didn't go into my aunt's house, whom I was staying with, and go inside and sit on the couch for a little bit and then get up and go to the dinner table and wait for supper. No, I told you what happened when I got home, when I got to their house, right? He took a hose to me. I had to get cleaned before I was going to have fellowship. And if we want that close relationship with God, if we want to walk with Him, it's not just a matter of reading your Bible every day. That's an outflow of a relationship you have with Him. Our relationship has to be based on God's holiness. And so as we ask for forgiveness, guess what? We have that closeness with Him. I think we have a lot of powerless churches because we have a lot of people that are holding on to something in their life that they're not willing to let go. I don't want to, if I take this to God, I'm just going to do it again. Or perhaps I've seen this entirely too many times. And those of you that have counseled and are in ministry, you know that bitterness is something that people do not want to let go. Because what happens when you let go of bitterness, you release the right to be angry about how you were mistreated. I never argue with somebody about whether they were truly wronged or not. You don't tell somebody, well, that's not that big of a deal, just get over it, because to them it is a big deal. But what you tell them is, listen, have you done something less worse than, have you not done something worse than that to God Almighty? And yet He's willing to forgive. The only way we can is through Him anyways. But people hold on to bitterness because they've been wronged. There's a lot of other things, but I'll tell you, I see bitterness as one. I see addictions as another, whether it's prescription drugs or smoking or pornography or whatever it might be that starts out as bad choices, ends up being physiological and a spiritual battle, and people say, well, I've just tried so many times, I just can't, and there's a defeatist attitude in Christians that just says, I'm not bringing this to the Lord anymore. And it couldn't, listen, I always hesitate at even giving examples because I might have just passed right over yours. And there could be something in your life tonight that you've tucked away somewhere. You're just not really willing to deal with it because maybe you've tried a bunch of times, or maybe it means that you're going to have to let somebody take advantage of you in your opinion because you're releasing that anger. You don't know what they did to me. I would have to say you're right, but God knows, and he still says to forgive. And so I just heard this recently. I mean, I've been saying it wrong the whole time, but I think I got it right finally. Bitterness is drinking poison hoping you're going to kill the other person. It's only killing yourself. And I still almost messed it up again. But that's a good saying. It's a good saying. I don't know. I don't have a quote. I didn't make that up for sure. I can't even repeat it twice, okay? But maybe it's not bitterness. Maybe it's something else. And you just are not willing to deal with it. I will tell you, this country, this church, and I would dare say you will never experience revival unless you're willing to get honest with God and ask him to cleanse you, to make you clean. But I promise you, I don't make a lot of promises, but I'll promise you this. If you do that, he has promised to be faithful and to forgive you of all unrighteousness. There's nothing he will not forgive you of. There is nothing that's too big for him to forgive when we go with a contrite heart in humility, confessing, agreeing with God, and then asking him to forgive us. Don't just tell God you're sorry. Tell him you're sorry and ask him to forgive you. Let's bow our heads tonight for just a moment.